This is Michael Johnson, and on today's NVIDIA podcast, part two of our chat with Craig Tech Daddy Tate, one of the top PC modders in the country.
Your most recent modding project centered a lot of attention around the muscle car theme, with a lot of parts that looked like they came from like a 60s Mustang with, you know, twin exhaust pipes and the rest of it. How did you get inspired to choose NVIDIA SLI technology for this particular job?
It was pretty much a no-brainer. When I was working on Boss, you know, when you're looking at a 1969 Boss 302 Mustang, it was the hoss. You know, it hit the streets, and you know, it had attitude, and it had horsepower galore, and it was a really, really, really well balanced machine. You know, when it came to hitting the streets, and it had a growl, and it had a presence, and to this day, people still call it, you know, the Boss. I mean, it's recognizable among Mustang fans all over the place. And when I was building the machine, NVIDIA's SLI technology was just such a natural fit for it, for a couple of reasons. Number one, it exemplified horsepower. You know, by being able to take two video cards of high power and team them together and get even more performance. I mean, that right there is just perfect. It's a perfect fit for what I was shooting for inside of Boss. And, you know, and then you also have two video cards, and like you were alluding to, you know, the whole exhaust and, you know, twin manifolds, and, you know, I was just trying to make the inside of the engine compartment look kind of as much as I could like an engine compartment, complete with, you know, air filters and exhaust pipes and chrome-covered wiring and stuff like that. So, but the NVIDIA SLI technology was just, it was clean, it was powerful, and the cards that I received were actually Gigabyte 6800 GTs, and they had a special custom cooler on it. They had lots of sweeping pipes on them, and it was actually a two-stage cooling solution. It was quite unique and really cool, and it just really added a lot to the look. So not only were they powerful, but they were beautiful cards. And having two of them side by side was just like a technology dream.
So you don't sound like one to rest on your laurels. Are you working on anything right now to trump the Boss?
Oh yeah. I'm putting the finishing wraps on a case for a friend of mine. She introduced me to hockey, and it's a hockey themed computer case. It's based off of the Dallas Stars. Once I get that one knocked out of the way, it's kind of a proof of concept. But the big thing that's getting ready to come up and roll down the pipe for me in the next couple of months is I'm actually building a machine for the Dallas Stars Foundation to be auctioned off at their charity casino night in March, and that is going to be another NVIDIA based rig, probably either a 570 or a 590 motherboard, obviously SLI, video cards, 7800, 7900. Don't know. We're still working on that right now. It's going to be a screamer of a case, and I've got a lot of little visual tricks that I'm going to be throwing into it to try and, you know, give it a hockey flair, which is, you know, I haven't seen very many sports type of computer cases out there. That's one of the things I do when I mod. I kind of look out there and I see, okay, what have people done? And then I start trying to recognize what people have not done. And one of the things I've noticed that's really been lacking is sports. And I know that there's a lot of people out there using computers that are sports fans that probably don't even recognize or realize that they could make a case or get a case that would incorporate, you know, a sports team that they like a lot, you know, or the college that they like, you know. So this is going to be a pretty big mod in my book, because it's professionally sponsored by I've got some gear from Cooler Master and some gear from NVIDIA. I've got some gear from Crucial. There's a little bit of pressure behind it for me to perform on this thing, and not to mention the Dallas Stars want it to look as good as possible so that they can auction it off at their charity event and make as much money as they can. So, you know, I'm going to be pushing myself a little bit to try some pretty innovative techniques and make this thing look as good and be as powerful as possible. And the NVIDIA SLI technology is going to just fit perfect in it.
Right. Well, on this project and on the Boss project, was that the first time that you used NVIDIA SLI technology?
Yeah.
And so how was it setting it all up?
Oh, it was was easy. I can't tell you. I mean, before I'd set up Boss, my primary gaming card was a single. It was a 6600 GT. It was from LeadTech, and that was all I knew. You know, because at the time that was all I could afford, and you know, it had the best bang for the buck, and it was good. You know, it was a good card for a cost-conscious gamer. When I set up my first SLI rig, it went so easily, I thought I'd screwed something up. I was like, it can't be that easy. And it was. I mean, I just, you know, had both cards in it, and it just worked. I was like, wow. So then I loaded up one of my games that I'd been playing on my 6600, and my jaw hit the floor. I'm hoping I don't sound too corny on this, but I actually got a tear in my eye because I realized that I could now turn up a lot of the details and kick up the anti-aliasing and get the anisotropic filtering going and, you know, kick up the texture details and see the game as it was meant to be played and not just, you know, having a game playing in front of me, but actually experience it the way the developers meant for it. And that whole NVIDIA, you know, logo right there at the beginning now took on a whole new meaning, and I was like, oh, I was hooked. That's it. I'm hooked.
So when you're modding, you know, it sounds like you have to have a lot of custom parts to fit whatever theme you're shooting for. What SLI-ready components did you invest in for the last project and for your current one as well?
The 6800 GTs, like we spoke about, from Gigabyte. There was an ECS KN1 Extreme. There's an SLI motherboard that I used in Boss. The power supply that came that I used in Boss was actually a Cooler Master Real Power. That's not actually an SLI ready power supply, but I had to mod it and turn it into an SLI power supply. Which is, note kids, kind of dangerous. Be careful when you do that. Okay. It's now a fully functioning SLI power supply. I've got another Cooler Master iGreen 600 watt SLI ready power supply that's outside in the garage right now that I'm going to be using in the Dallas Stars case. I've read about the SLI ready memory, and I haven't actually had any exposure to it yet, so I'm kind of itching to get my fingers on some of that and see how well it tweaks and works with the rest of the new NVIDIA SLI ready lines.
Now, I want to ask you about overclocking. Do you overclock anything, or do you keep them at sort of the standard stock speeds, and why one way or the other?
My personal preference, I don't overclock until I need to. And when I say need to, it's like when I start to reach the end of useful life of a piece of either CPU or a video card or something like that, then I'll start pushing it just to get a little bit extra use out of it. My thinking on that is it's a personal preference. It's when people overclock and they overclock to insane speeds. If you're not really careful and you're not watching what you're doing, you can physically damage the component. And then, of course, once you've overclocked it, you've voided the warranty. Now, I've got a lot of expensive hardware running around here, and I don't particularly feel the need to be a benchmark king. I don't. I don't have that. My desire for performance is strong, but I don't feel the need to take my machines and push them to the absolute ragged edge, to where I either stand a chance of hurting something, or voiding my warranty. I tinker with it. I'm not going to say that I don't overclock. I might take a machine that I know that I've got a really good cooler on, and I'll take it outside and, you know, I'll run it up, and you know, I'll mess with the HTT links, and, you know, start working on the multiple, because all of my machines here at the house that I'm running, my wife's machine, my machine, and then my previous machine, they're all AMD FX processors, so the multipliers are unlocked, so the CPUs are just prime for overclocking. And then on my video cards, obviously, when you start dealing with overclocking, you've got the NVIDIA Coolbits registry hack that unlocks the memory and the core sliders so that you can actually overclock the video cards. Then you've got the Intune chipset tweaking software that comes with NVIDIA-based motherboards. And, you know, it gives the people that like to benchmark, and it gives the people that really like to push their equipment to the edge, it gives them every little bit of granular tinkering that they would want. In my particular instance, I don't like to tinker down to that level. I like to use my machines. I don't like to get lost in the complete granular overclocking of it. Now, I got some friends of mine that will absolutely just stomp me on benchmarking and stuff like that, you know, and that's their thing, you know, and I'll take that, but, you know, my machine looks better.
So, Craig, when you overclock, do you prefer to use the BIOS or an overclocking program like some of the ones that you were mentioning?
Whenever I overclock, the BIOS, you know, gives you a whole lot of settings, and it'll allow you to get pretty aggressive. NVIDIA gives you some really cool tools. They give you an Intune software that allows you to tweak the chipset of the actual motherboard. Then they give you, if you go out online, you can pick up a little registry hack called CoolBits, which allows you to adjust the memory and the core frequencies of the video card. The neat thing about Intune is that it's a professionally developed, you know, solution, and it allows you to make changes within Windows. And if you get too aggressive, or you go too far with your chipset tweaking, you know, and your machine doesn't boot, Intune will then just reset what you had done back to the normal motherboard defaults. So it's a good safe, as safe as overclocking can be. You know, you obviously, whenever you start overclocking, you start getting into the point of dabbling with warranty invalidation. You also stand the chance of, you know, killing your components, you know, killing your machine, you know, killing motherboard, killing video card. But a lot of people know how to do it and do it right, and if you do it right, you can get a lot of free performance out of a machine, you know, untapped performance. You know, it's kind of like, you know, going, again, referencing back to that whole 70s gearhead thing, you know, getting under the engine and, you know, adjusting your cams and, you know, fuel flow on your carburetor, you know, and just making the pieces that you have work better together to get that extra bit of performance. Myself, personally, I don't tinker very much with my chipset, just personal decision of my own. It's a great tool, the Intune stuff. It's just I don't dabble with my motherboard. I'm always afraid of messing with my brainstem, if you will. As for the video cards, tweaking the core and the memory through the CoolBits Registry Act, and, you know, doing through the NVIDIA drivers, they have a good tool set there that allows you to gauge how well your card may behave, or how far you can push it, overclocking it, you know, taking the memory beyond its normal spec and taking the core beyond its normal spec. And I'll guiltily admit, you know, with a little bit of pleasure, I've had some really good success with that tool. And hopefully that doesn't invalidate any of my cards, NVIDIA.
So when you see that on an advertisement, on a box, the term SLI ready, what does that mean to you, especially when you're looking for parts to build an SLI or an SLI ready PC?
First thing it says to me when I see something that has the logo, number one, it means that NVIDIA has looked at it and blessed it. And that to me says that, that it's going to be a quality part that's going to perform the way I expect it to, and perform being the key word there. I've been reading a lot and seeing a lot of online reviews where people are taking these, you know, these SLI ready components, putting them together, and they come up with a screaming machine, and that's exactly what I want. I don't want to put something together and then find out, you know, three steps down the road that, oh crap, this part's not compatible, and it ends up, you know, throwing off my build or delaying me while I go searching for another part. The SLI ready moniker says to me, number one, if I combine these parts, I stand a chance of great, if not better than great, performance, simply because of the fact that the parts are meant to work together.
You've been listening to a conversation with Craig Tech Daddy Tate, one of the country's best-known PC modders. You can check out his work at www.tech-daddy.com. And for more on NVIDIA's SLI technology, check out slizone.com. This is Michael Johnson. Thanks for listening.